we are quite safe from your pitiful little band.
To Behind the Podcast with the Pitiful Little Band Network, a collective group of positive Star Wars content creators with the hosts of Idiots Array, Kanata's Castle, and Tarkin's Top Shelf podcasts. Today we have Becca and Alan. How are you?
Never know who goes first.
Who goes first? You go first? I go first? Go ahead, Becca.
Right. I'm fine. Thanks, Alan. I'm fine. It's a little humid today. I know no one likes weather talk. Sorry, Ryder, but I'm here to make Ryder proud. So it's a little weather talk. We have rain today, which is making it very humid. Otherwise, I'm fine. I'm happy to be here today talking Star Wars with you guys.
I'm okay. Fighting congestion for the last 10 days and fighting the heat because, you know, I'll talk weather too. It's not humid here, but it has been nigh into triple digits 4 or 5 out of the last 8 days or so, 9 days. Yeah, we're in June, first day of summer last week, and we had a stretch of about 98, 97, 99. We might have reached 100. It's been hot already, and it's not pleasant. Other than that, I'm good. Wedding in 21 days, 22 days. I am excited.
Yes. The weather here is humid. Thankfully, it's not as hot. We had a last weekend for the last week, all the way through last weekend, it was in the 90s. That was pretty brutal. But today it feels like you go outside, it's like you're breathing through a wet sock. It's not good. But other than that, I have a new desk. I am still working on tidying it up to be the best setup. But yeah, it's pretty exciting to have a new desk. With more space.
Way to leave a bad taste in the mouth when we start the podcast. Wet sock. Yes.
I'm not implying that it's dirty. That, you know. Just that you just pulled it out of the washer and you pull it over your face and you're trying to breathe. So sweaty wet. It's just water.
I'm just grossed out. You know, I might have to throw up here for a minute. I'll be right back. So, you know.
Okay. Well, you go do that.
It's a texture thing. Yeah.
Yeah, 100% texture.
Yeah, well, it's like gauze in the mouth. It's horrible. I'm glad that Ryder's not here, but I get to talk about it because he's not here.
Yeah, this is true.
So, in the news, Ben Mendelsohn maybe returning to Star Wars for season 2 of Andor. There's rumors that director Krennic will appear in some of the episodes of Andor. How are we feeling about this possibility and how much credence do we give this?
I think it makes sense story-wise. So yeah, the Death Star is a big part of Rogue One. And if this connects to that, I say yes. And I'm all for it because, you know, guy in a cape, why not?
I'm right? Good with it too, as long as he doesn't choke on his aspirations.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe he'll see a storm cloud and think it's beautiful at some point. Who knows? Also, Young Jedi Adventure Season 2 coming on August 14th. And also then Star Wars Lego Rebuild the Galaxy September 13th. And now I've seen some pictures of some sets for this. And there's like a dark Millennium Falcon. And of course, the Lego minifigures of Darth Jar Jar and a couple other characters. And also a light side force ghost of Darth Vader.
I love it. I'm sorry.
Interesting. Interesting. So I have to ask you, the Young Jedi Adventures, is that what you said it was? Isn't that little kid show thing on Disney Plus? Have you guys watched it? Do you like it?
I've watched some of it. It's actually very good. I liked the Life Day stuff. Okay. So that was great. It's set in the High Republic era. So it's actually, you know, it's a great introductory piece for those with young kids, like very young kids. It's bright, it's colorful, it's cheerful. It does really deal with situations that are good for young kids, you know, right and wrong type situations. So there's learning involved in it, but it's also Star Wars at its core. So I think it's cute. I really do. I enjoy it when, you know, I'll watch it. I haven't watched all of season one yet, but it always puts a smile on my face. So.
And yeah, I'm just trying to convince the kids to watch it. They've seen a few episodes. But yeah, like this is like Becca said, it's cute. It's a good intro for little kids to Star Wars.
And I guess it's okay to have a little Yoda. So didn't Yoda make an appearance in a couple of episodes?
Yes, he has. Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Can't go wrong with Yoda.
And I can't remember who did the voice, but I believe he's returned to do the voice for Yoda in this series. Isn't he the same one that's always done it? I can't think of his name.
Well, Tom Kane, he had had a stroke.
Is it so Tom Kane? Oh, so maybe.
Yeah, I don't know who the new actor is or if he made a recovery. I'm not sure.
Okay.
So I have to look that up.
I wasn't sure. So, okay. Well, and then you mentioned Legos. I don't think it's been released yet, but I'm kind of excited about that Lego series with, you know, Darth Jar Jar.
Yep.
Yeah, September 13th.
I cannot wait for that.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes, it is.
That's why I like Lego, because they are allowed to have fun and be silly with it.
Right.
And I think one thing a lot of Star Wars fans could stand to do is lighten up. So,
thank you.
100%. Yes, please.
I mean, because I think the people that take it the most seriously get too mad. And if it's not fun, then it's not worth doing anymore. And like, you know, I care about the details and all that stuff, but also I think there's room for what if type scenarios. And if Lego's the way that we get the what if, then that's fine.
Right.
So then we saw pre-orders go up.
I had to get this. Yeah.
Yeah. We saw pre-orders go up for The Stranger, a Black Series helmet. And apparently it's already sold out. So if you wanted to get
like it sold out within hours. Yeah.
Ooh. If you wanted to get your Manny Jacinto on, it is too late now.
But do you not see the humor in this, though? The fact that everyone, that the loud voices that are saying everyone hates the Acolyte, but yet the helmet sold out in hours, pre-orders.
Yeah.
But yet everyone hates the show. I'm just, you know, I'm sorry I have to be that person and say that. I just found that so funny. Okay. Yeah. But
the statistics, they aren't statisticking.
No, thank you. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody was pointing out that, you know, you have an audience of 11 million roughly that watched the first couple episodes. And I'm sure that audience has just either stayed consistent or grown. We'll probably get final numbers once the season's over, but only around 7,000 people, and I say people in quotation marks, have made negative posts about it on IMDb. So just think about from 11,000 down or 11 million down to 7,000, what tiny percent of a percent that is. There are a lot of loud voices that just don't represent most of the people watching it. So,
correct.
So yeah,
we are not surprised.
I don't know what there is to not like about it, because everything about it has been fantastic.
It's woke.
I don't even understand that. Like, I not that I'm going to give credence to it, but I get the argument from people about woke. What I don't understand is how this even enters that realm, because there is nothing in this realm that gives any sort of credence to woke. I don't understand that. There's nothing about this that even fits that.
And I would agree. I think you have to be watching it with hate goggles on to find anything to hate. And just look at the things that people have chosen to really focus on. It is really
like grasping what?
Straws. Like, oh, Ki-Adi Mundi's birthday is wrong. Was it?
Because when did we care?
Wikipedia didn't have it listed as canon. And they were getting death threats at Wikipedia for putting his age up.
They still are.
Yeah, I know. It's insane. Then I'm trying to think, was there even anything in this latest episode that made people that upset?
Yes. But we'll wait for when we get into our discussion we'll talk about that. But the latest one that I heard is the fact that the girls, the twins, look like Mother Anisea and not like Mother Coral, because Mother Coral carried them. They should look like Mother Coral. And I'm like, are we seriously doing this right now? Because if you want to get technical, Anakin has blonde hair, blue eyes. Shmi is brown hair, brown eyes, but yet he had no father. So let's not even open up that can of worms, because really?
And I would like to talk about medical surrogacy. I don't know if you've heard of this. But some couples are not able to conceive because of a problem with the mother's reproductive organs. In such a case, one may take the embryo and give it to a friend or a paid surrogate who then carries the child. It is not their child. It will not look like them.
Right.
So just because, you know what? I'm not even going to explain it. I shouldn't have to explain it.
And can we just say also,
I just want to go health there. Class.
Can we just say too, Shmi has a different accent than Anakin Skywalker. I just want to throw that out there too. But anyway, go on. Let's just go on.
You know what? It doesn't even, it's so stupid. I don't even need to say anything. I paid attention to health class.
If you'd like to screen capture my face and tweet it out and just say, I mean, I'm perfectly fine with that because.
I got it.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I just
don't have time to. Yeah, I just don't have
time. It is what it is, you know. Whatever.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Okay.
People just want to complain, but that's how I look at it. But we're not here to do that.
Let's talk about the Acolyte.
Let's talk about how amazing it is.
Yes.
Okay, so episode 5 is called Night, but it may have just as well been called Emotional Trauma, because I think it's fair to say that most of us watching were devastated by this episode and mad. I frankly was mad the first time I watched this episode, but not mad at the show. I was mad at the fate of the characters, and I was really mad at Darth Teeth, or Darth Triceps, or the Stranger. We need an official name, because there are too many good fan suggestions that make me laugh.
I like Darth Guns, but anyway, that's what I'm calling them.
So overall rating, if we're doing out of 5 stars, or, you know, I've heard some podcasts give letter grades. What are we feeling about this one? I will go first. I say 6 out of 5 stars, A++, better than national grade point average. This episode was so good. It made me feel so bad, just like the High Republic has. It's a good pain. It's that pain that makes you know that you are alive. That's where I'm reading it. What about you, Becca?
Definitely. 5 stars plus bonus points, because again, the connection value that's there with continuity, it really brings it all together with what we see go down in the prequels. And then, of course, it ties into what's come before with the High Republic. I really want to thank those architects for preparing us, letting us know from the beginning with the very first book by Charles Soule that none of our faves will ever be safe. We knew this going in. I felt ready. And, you know, I just want to say the dialogue and the choreography that has went into this, I'm blown away. I'm blown away. I mean, we haven't seen stuff like this. I mean, it came close in Rogue One. Of course, there was no lightsabers, right? But with the whole, I'm talking just the choreography, hands-on combat. Like, I'm loving the hands-on combat. But the lightsabers.
Hold on.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Hold on. Because you're already shared. Let me, this is my favorite episode of The Acolyte so far. And dialogue and everything aside, this is my favorite for the choreographed fighting alone. Some of the best lightsaber duels we've seen in all of Star Wars. Some of the best choreographed fight scenes we've seen in all of Star Wars. This was very well done. And sure, if you want to talk about biceps, triceps, he looked really good. Like, he delivered on such a high level with his ability.
Literally delivered to his lightsaber.
So,
can we just say that?
So good.
Literally delivered.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything.
And the headbutt. Can we talk? Like, oh my God.
And I was watching this and I told somebody the other day, I'm like, the sheer raw power that he holds and displays is like no other we've seen. This might be one of the best episodes in all of Star Wars because I really liked it a lot.
And Manny is on record saying he trained for this episode 4 months. 4 months of training for this episode. That's dedication.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the choreography shows it.
Yeah. And I'm not going to take away from Anakin and Obi-Wan from Hayden and Ewan, because that battle in Revenge of the Sith still tops, still so good. I mean, you can even go back to Phantom Menace, but this episode, some of these battles, him included, like the training he did, this rivals those as some of the best we've seen. Mm-hmm. Some of the best we've seen.
Okay. So 5 stars, Alan?
Oh, I give it 10 or more. Yeah. Easily.
Okay.
Yeah. And then just some of the brutal moves we saw. We saw a skewering one Jedi and force pulling another Jedi onto the saber. I almost screamed. Of course, I didn't.
Yes.
Because I was watching on an iPad. It was late at night. That wouldn't have worked so well for our family. But yeah, I mean, where do we even start with this? Because there's just, it's just wall-to-wall action for this episode.
Right, yeah, go ahead. I love the titles. We've talked about this with Ryder since the beginning. I love that episode 4 was called Day, episode 5 is called Night. And I'm like, where have I heard stuff like this before? And I knew it was something in that we've read. The Force Awakens novel opens up with the Journal of the Wills. And it says, first comes the day, then comes the night. After the darkness shines through the light. The difference, they say, is only made right by the resolving of gray through refined Jedi sight. And I'm not saying there's a tie-in, but I'm really wondering if there's a tie-in with this, because in episode 4, the daylight, how much sun time that they had left was so important. They kept saying it. Once nightfall came, everything obviously went to crap, right? And here we are. I mean, and the thing is, I don't know how long episode 5 really transpires in real time for them, but it seems like daybreak came pretty quickly. And that's when other things like transition happened, right? So I don't know. Thoughts on this? Do you think there's a tie into this from the Journal of the Wills?
I hadn't given it that thought. I don't know. I haven't looked that far into it, so I don't know that I have an opinion on that.
Sorry.
I would say, given the level of fan that Leslie Headland is, I would not be surprised if this, you know, came across her desk at some point. So, yeah, I think that's a really good, like, poem from the Journal of the Wills. And I like how that comes up on occasion in Star Wars canon. Oh, here's another little excerpt from the Journal of the Wills, because that goes right to the beginning of writing Star Wars. Right. It was, in fact, part of some of the longer-winded titles for Star Wars back then. But yeah, this one, it starts just exactly where the previous episode left off. So we have Osha on the ground and sees the you know, do you ever see a character and you just know they're going to be the first one to die?
Yeah. And this was it, because I don't even know if we got a name.
Yeah. So when I heard that one of the influences for the show was Predator, the movie Predator, cool. I didn't really know how that influence was going to come in, but that movie perfectly lays out, you know exactly what order those men are going to die in the second you start watching that movie, because it goes from the least tolerable person down the line to the most tolerable person in that group. And without fail, the absolute worst of them, the guy that you hate the most, I think he's played by Shane Black, he goes out first, and you want him to go out first. And so by the time you get down to the last one, it's like, I feel satisfied the order that these men died in. And so for me, last week's episode, this guy's like walking out front, and I'm like, I just don't like this guy. He's dying first. I just know he's going to get it first. I could feel it. And of course, that's the first dead body we see as the aftermath of this fight. And then as Osha is sort of coming to herself, she hears the lightsabers. And then when she sees it, we see it. And it is ferocious and raw. And the lightsabers are turning off when he headbutts them or hits it with his cuff.
Wild.
Kurtosis, you know? Kurtosis. The people that want to bring back Legends, what do you think they have been doing this whole time? Kurtosis was made canon within comics and in Thrawn Alliances.
This happened in Thrawn Alliances. Oh my God.
The people that are writing Star Wars loved Legends, and they're bringing as much of it that makes sense as possible. Concepts, characters, objects, devices, whatever they can from Legends, it's canon again. And Kurtosis, of course, it made an appearance in Thrawn Alliances. But yeah, it is a material that shorts out lightsabers.
And let's talk about this, though. Seriously, can I just say, those glowy things in the ground around Kelnaka's little homestead, very similar to the power sources that we see on Brendok around the coven. Also, when Anakin tries to blow up the Kurtosis mine in Thrawn Alliances, that heat, the explosion is redirected because of Kurtosis. Maybe that's what transpired on Brendok. The explosion was redirected because of, I don't know, Kurtosis?
Yeah.
Maybe that wasn't meant to happen.
Right.
I'm just putting that out there.
Yeah.
You know? Well, it's made me think about that.
The more I see this show, the more possibilities I can think of for what happened on Brendok, and it doesn't make anybody look good.
No, nobody that's dead, not at all.
Nobody that's still alive. I think that we're going to find out that none of it happened how it was presented to us in the third episode. We got one character's perspective, and now there's the idea that Jedi can alter memories.
Right.
And so we don't even know what happened. We don't even know if we can rely upon Osha's memory or Mae's memory. And all we have to go on is what Sol has told somebody. And we have seen gaslighting in the Jedi Order before. So, yeah, the fight's brutal. And I just have to say, the most impressive part of it for me was how Jackie really held her own.
Oh,
she was amazing. Yes. Little Ahsoka in the making right there. Am I wrong?
She was way more powerful than I anticipated for a Padawan. She was really well versed with that lightsaber. Like, she knew what she was doing. She held her own. Everything about that battle I liked. That was one of my favorite battles throughout. Like, yes, Sol and that battle was good. But no, I loved the way she handled herself through her battle.
She
very
was
much.
Amazing. Now, yes, have you was. Guys seen Daphne King when she played in Logan?
Yes.
She's amazing. She's amazing.
I saw it once.
So I watched Logan, kind of fell asleep through part of it. Is she the main character girl in that one?
Yes. That's her. Okay. She's little, but she's mighty. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of those movies that I saw it, thought it was amazing, and I never wanted to watch it again. Like, there are just movies like that. They're just like, wow, that's brutal and depressing, and I'm good. Thank you.
And I fell asleep because I think it started out really slow for me, so I had a hard time getting into it.
It's definitely a slower burn.
Yeah, so it is. Anyway, back to no, she did really well. She held her own. I'm going to throw this out there, too. What's the Wookiee's name? I forget his name.
Kalnaka.
I am probably, if I'm mad about anything, it's the fact that he's dead already. Like, last episode now, I wanted to see him for a while, and I was really
disappointed. We will in flashbacks. I really do. But I do want to bring this up, because you brought up him. Kalnaka, his slash is in an X formation, if you look. On the back of the stranger alias Chimere, because that's really not his name. It's his alias. Right. If you read the whole thing, the whole data archive on StarWars.com, he has an X on his back. There's a silver X, very similar to, you know, X, the platform. But anyway, and Kalnaka has an X burned into his chest. So I'm just wondering if there's a connection there. Anyone else pick up on this, or am I the only one?
No. And
I didn't notice. I thought it was just a single slash.
There's two.
I'll apologize, like, ahead of time. Like, and I haven't had a chance to talk with you guys about any of this series to this point. There are some moments, and I mentioned in text the other day, we can touch on it a little bit, about a dyad in the Force. And I feel like the twins represent that probably, I mean, extremely well. But outside of that, I really haven't gone in depth. I've just been a fan. I have just sat back and enjoyed the pure entertainment that this series is. I'd like to go back and watch some of these episodes again and really go delve deeper back into the lore a little bit, because I think there's a lot to be said about it. But for me, I have just enjoyed this from a pure entertainment as a fan standpoint. And I will definitely rewatch this over and over again because I loved it.
Yeah. And I've approached it that way too. Like, the first time I watch it, I just try to let it wash over me. And then when I watch it with my kids, that's usually when I'm like picking up little details that I missed before.
Right.
Like, the first time through, I didn't really realize what was happening with the lightsabers and the helmet until about halfway through the episode. And so it's nice watching it at least twice. Because there are just tiny things that it's like, oh, wow, like, I really missed that or whatever. So Saul is the only remaining Jedi from Brendok at this point.
He's a sole survivor.
And he has promised Osha that he'll explain everything once they get back to the ship.
Been promising that for a while now. See, he's stalling.
But as soon as somebody says that, you know things are going to go wrong.
Right.
And we have now reached sort of an interesting point. I mean, obviously, so Jackie died. Yord, I thought, actually was going to do some damage. And, lightsabers both out.
We actually got to see that, like, in his eyes. Yeah. It was so personal. That was personal. Yeah.
That was the one that devastated my son, because Yord was his favorite character in this show.
And I can see why.
Yeah. But then we have that sort of, like, Anakin and Obi-Wan in Revenge of the Sith face-to-face with the two twins. And the reversal, and I know I'm jumping ahead, but that's where it sets up the most interesting thing, because Saul wants to tell Osha. Saul wants to control the information. He's gaslighting her. Let's put it out there.
Yes.
He's trying to control the situation. It's just like an abuser trying to control the situation and make it look better than it is. And May, she thinks she's been given the truth, but what do we know about the Sith? And we should get to that as well. Sith.
That's an important thing we have to talk about that. Yes. Yeah.
But the Sith tell the truth, but they skew it to their favor. And now we have an interesting reversal, where May is going to get the version of it that Saul wants Osha to hear.
Right.
Yes.
And OSHA is going to get the, in quotes, heavy quotes, unvarnished truth.
Yes.
From the stranger.
And I don't know how that's going to go.
I know. But yes, now let's talk about something. So
yeah, it's here.
He says that he is Sith. And now that...
No, he doesn't say that. No, he does not say that. He says,
you might call me Sith.
He says, Jedi like you may call me Sith. But he did not claim to be a Sith. He did not claim the mantle. In Visions, there's an episode called The Elder. Same wording. They do not claim to be a Sith, which is interesting because usually they have no problems. And Dooku came right out and told Obi-Wan, the whole Republic is being under the whole guidance of a Sith. He comes right out with it. So he's just saying, you guys would call someone like me a Sith. That doesn't mean he is a Sith. That's what I'm saying.
Right. The interesting part of it is that he now says, everybody that's seen me has to die.
Right.
And because you make the rules. He says it because you, Jedi, say I can't exist. You make the rules. So it's not my fault.
Well, and here's the thing. And you talk about, Mark, you brought this up, like the Sith or the dark side itself does not tell the whole truth. It does not tell the whole of it, right? Even if you talk about the dark side of the Force, it does not embrace the whole of it. That's one of the lies that Palpatine told, though. The dark side, you get to use all of it. You understand the all of the Force, which is not necessarily true. there is some truth to it, but there isn't. So you've got him, and then you've got the Jedi, and it's very... It's interesting to me how the dogma is very center stage in this series with the Jedi. Very center stage, much more so than we saw in The Phantom Menace all the way through the Revenge of the Sith. We see it on stage, but the hubris of the Jedi is on full display right now, right? Like it's not good. It does not look good.
And I think we're seeing it like that because what Leslie has chosen to do, and if you read all of her interviews, it's in there. She's chosen to take smaller personal battles versus a big outright huge battle of many. So you get these personal nuances going on, you know, which is very, again, it mirrors what we see with Anakin Skywalker. Those were personal battles, one-on-ones. We didn't see it at large. It was very brief when we did with Order 66, but that's why we're getting this, because no one else in the Jedi Order is privy to this. Only Sol knows. He's the only Jedi there that's left to know what's going on. He's the only one. And the alias, Chimer goes on with, I want freedom to wield my power the way I like. And this reminded me, and I'm not saying he is Sith, but it reminded me of the Sith Code. And if you go into Wikipedia, they're great. There's a character in Legends, Uthera Ban, and she is part of the Sith Academy, and she does an analysis on the Sith Code. And she looks at that freedom aspect as, through victory, my chains are broken, which is part of the code. One who has freed themselves from all restrictions, quote-unquote chains, has reached perfection, not just a Sith, but any being in the universe. Strive for perfection and the Force shall reward you. So this doesn't necessarily mean he's a Sith. Definitely practicing in dark arts, I will say that. But then you hear the one thing, and if you play it back and you play it back and you play it back, at the end, very, very end, you hear in the music, Michael Abels, you're amazing, there's Kylo Ren's theme playing in the background.
So somebody who wants to be a Sith.
Right.
Right. Thank you. Knights of Ren, possibly? I'm just throwing it out there.
I think it's interesting that a certain personality who's known for being angry about Star Wars... one of the things he said when it was revealed that there was a red lightsaber wielding character was that anybody that sees that red lightsaber has to die or it breaks canon. It's like, okay, so are you changing your mind about the series now that that's the stated goal of that character and there's only one Jedi left?
Right.
No, probably not. So I found that interesting. But the idea that you may call me Sith, it's a very interesting wording. But clearly the Sith have to have been keeping things alive throughout right. this time. So there have to be Sith out there. And it stands to reason that in 1,000 years, some Jedi would have had to encounter some Sith. But that remains a question. Like, is this a Sith, or is this just somebody that found, like, maybe they were trained as a Jedi and they found their way into the Forbidden Archives, found some information. But one thing I do, and this isn't taking issue with the show creator, this is taking issue with the character's philosophy. So on the one hand, he's not wrong that the Jedi have sort of claimed to be the only ones who can use the Force.
Right.
But that can be true while also saying that some interpretations of that are too dangerous to be allowed. And I think that with his particular philosophy, the things that he's saying, he is the kind of person that shouldn't be allowed to wield his power. Because, you know, to quote Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility. Mm-hmm. I think with his great power, he just wants greater power. And yes. we see the end result of that thirst for greater power in Palpatine. He takes over the government and founds the empire. And even when he's dead, you can't hold him down because he's got all these backup right. projects to bring him back as a clone. And so, yeah, like, he's not wrong.
Isn't like, there okay.
the witches at the beginning of this series probably should have been left alone. But then again, how does the stranger factor into that? How does the dark side factor into that? How does the right. Sith factor into all of that? And it's just like, yes, people should be free to do what they want, but not when it comes to harming others.
Well, so
it's kind of the whole Sith thing.
So there's a couple things that are on my head, that are across my mind as what you're talking about. First of all, I want to go back to something I said, and just, you're learning very early on, even within the walls of the temple. And we saw that, we've only seen this on minor moments, but you're starting to see the disillusionment of some Jedi, right? Like, if you get further into the stories behind the Force, or the Phantom Menace and so on and so forth, some of the filler in between and all of that, you're seeing characters who have left the Jedi Order because they don't like what's going on. So they've become disillusioned to it. You're already starting to see that right now through this episode, through this series. But to your point, you were talking about how he is solely power. Go back to, and I might need a little help touching on this, but Darth Bane, when he first set up this rule of two, right? One, with power, the other with what?
The other to crave it.
The other to crave it.
You're welcome.
And the one with power, like, one of them is learning to be educated more too in the process, right? So you've got a balance of power there. Like, we always talk about the balance within the Force, and the Sith always maintained a bit of a balance between the two characters, right? And I think that might have been part of the downfall of Palpatine, is at the end he craved power so much that he didn't want to see the other side of the coin. He didn't want to. And so the entire philosophy that Bane had set up, the Sith, it was kind of gone at that point in time, right? Like, through all of the centuries since the downfall of Sith, Bane has said, look, we need a balance between two individuals. We need a balanced structure. So this guy craves power. He's very imbalanced, right? There's nobody there to help on this. And where did he come from? Like, we, Phantom Menace, we didn't know where Palpatine came from. We didn't know anything about him. He come around and he was very much in the shadows. Same with this guy. Like, he's very much in the shadows. And mm-hmm. we don't know a lot about him or where he's come from or what is behind his method of, and motives right now.
And that is my question for you guys. I have it. I actually just highlighted it now. The metaphor, because there's this whole conversation, there's this whole exchange going on between Sol and Chimaire about the mask. Because Sol asks, you know, who hides their face from their pupil? He goes, I don't know. You tell me, Sol. You know, he's all like right in his face. So that's my question to you. Is the mask itself, yes, we see it, but it's also a metaphor. who is Sol really? What is he masking from OSHA and from the Jedi Order? Two, is Chimera really, is that really his face? And I ask that because there's always this whole basically back and forth on Palpatine. He claimed when he calls out, it's now the Galactic Empire, that the Jedi scarred him, left him deformed. But then there's also the conversation, that's his true identity. Now what we saw is Sheev. So which is it? That's my question to you.
Right?
So do we really even know? Because Chimera's not his name. If you read the databanks, it says the stranger alias Chimera. That's not even his real name. We don't know. So is that really what he looks like?
Right.
This is, and even Sol. We don't know who he really is. And what's interesting is that he feels there's something familiar about Chimera. He can't put his finger on it, you know? And it makes me wonder, because someone pointed it out, that Sol means sun, Chimera means moon. And are they related to some degree? Because if you remember back, Sol put emphasis on OSHA, how they were alike, because he was very different from his family too.
Right. Well, and I'm glad you brought up Mass, because this is one of my favorite parts of Star Wars too. I have a lot of favorite parts of Star Wars, but I don't know if the two of you remember, but about 8 or 9 years ago, I wrote a piece about masks, and I wrote it for the then Cantina cast. I wish I could find it. I may have to go out and search for it, but I wrote it because what prompted it was Kylo Ren. When we first got a look at him, I think it was 2015, when we first got a look at him, and it really prompted me to think about the masks we wear, the masks in Star Wars. This is no different. And there is the not the physical mask alone, but the very real, you know, I can't even find the right words, guys, but the real masks that we wear that are not seen, that mask who we really are, that are hiding something. Because I think everybody's hiding something behind a mask of some sort, right? We put on a mask sometimes to look happy, sometimes to make it through our day, because we're masking something underneath. We're hiding something within our own personalities, within our own emotions, whatever it is. So obviously with Sol, there's something that's going on there. And I think each one of these characters, there's some sort of a mask that's going on that has to be shown, that we're going to find, I think, as this series goes on.
Yeah, and I think very much the mask that the stranger wears is physical, but also he does have that sort of personality mask. He was playing a fool type character. I noticed that when he called Sol out for that, it's like, what kind of master hides their face from their pupil? And it's like, you have been hiding something. Yes. From your main pupil. You can't let it go. The attachment is there. He can't stop thinking about her.
Right.
And you just start to wonder, is it like a situation where a kid was in an abusive environment, they move out, and now the person knows that they don't have control over it anymore. So they obsess over it. And I'm not outright saying that Sol abused her, but whatever happened, he had a hand in the tragedy that struck her, and he hid that from her. And I think that's its own form of abuse, withholding information that is vital. And I just wonder, will May, because we've already seen her have a change of heart.
Yes.
Because she's like, wait, my sister's alive. That changes everything. This means I don't have to do this anymore. And of course, that results in Kelnaka dying. And the funniest thing about it is the stranger, a.k.a. Chimera, because of that betrayal, he decides, well, then everybody has to die. It's all your fault. You made me do this. I mean, we've all heard that from people. Well, you know, I didn't want to break your toy, but you weren't listening to me. You made me do this. It's like, well, no, nobody made you do anything. You could have just walked away and nobody would know who you are. But then on the other side of it, Sol has been, you know, projecting himself as this very kind rescuer this entire time. And for some reason, OSHA just couldn't let go of this tragedy, and it kept her from becoming a Jedi Knight. And it's like, Well, maybe if she had had some of the truth. It's just like with Luke. At first, they don't tell him that Darth Vader is his father. And maybe he wouldn't have been ready for it. But it was sure terrible to send him into that battle knowing who his father really was and not telling him that. And
I agree.
I think you texted this, Becca, and I think it's a very interesting concept. What if we have been following the Acolyte this whole time as the viewpoint character? What if Osha becomes a Sith Acolyte because when she finds out what really happened, it drives her to anger and despair and hatred.
Just like it did with Anakin. Yes.
Yeah. But on the flip side, what if May realizes
becomes
that
becomes a Jedi? Yeah.
Well, what if May realizes, wait, what happened with Saul wasn't as bad as I saw? Because I have a feeling that whatever's going to come down, like however it comes down, we're going to find out that Mother Coral did something that affected one of the Jedi. I think there's theories that Kel Naka, his mind is taken over and he goes berserk because we see Saul fighting Kel Naka. But you know, it's just like the betrayal of Julius Caesar. Your right hand man or woman in this case betrays you because they want to keep the family together or whatever. And then all of these actions happen because of misunderstandings and betrayals and manipulations. And once the truth all comes to light, May and Osha end up on opposite sides of where they started. I think that would be interesting.
And I really think that is how that's going to go. I just have that feeling because, again, if you have twins, and I called this from the very start, if you have twins, and this is a Disney, it's on Disney's platform, why wouldn't you do some sort of parent trap moment? And you do have it. I knew at some point it was going to happen. So I'm just happy that I was kind of right. It didn't happen the way I thought it would. They were not in agreement at all over that. Right. But before we get there, I do want to point out in the very beginning, when this series starts and you see Saul, Master Saul, with the younglings and class is dismissed and Vernestra comes in to bear the, to share the bad news about what they perceive is his old Padawan. She says to him, I remember when you were that small, how shy you were. Right there, we're supposed to think he was this vulnerable, shy individual, this good person. But again, was he shy or was he traumatized? What happened to him? Because there's that moment, too, episode 3, when they come in uninvited for the girls. And Dara turns to him because he approaches as the mothers start to get a little protective and you can't blame them. Someone is coming into their home and demanding to see their children. I wouldn't take kindly to that either. So anyway, Saul approaches and Dara says, no, Saul. And he pauses and gently grabs his saber. So something's transpired in the past. Because she was cautious of him. These are things that were planted in our head for a reason. Also, going back to what you're saying, Alan, about Kel Naka, you and Mark, both, doing something, possibly possessed by the witches, in that vision where May approaches Osha after she crash lands, her eyes go dark, like the possession of Torben. Same thing.
Right.
Completely
Wait, which twins? I forget.
When the twins meet, remember, it's in a vision. It's after Osha crashes.
Right, but which twins' eyes change?
May's. May's.
It makes so much sense. It makes so much sense.
Yeah.
And, what if she was manipulated by Coral that whole time?
It's very possible.
I have, I have two words that sit here with me as we're talking. Two words that I think fit this story, two words that fit the Jedi, two words that fit Star Wars, fear and the truth.
Yep.
Because
both scare the Jedi.
Yes, they do. And in the end, it's fear that does the Jedi. It's fear of the unknown. And I think we're going back to the witches in the first part of this series.
Yep.
They feared the power. They feared what was going on there. They felt they needed to insert themselves, see if they could take the kids away, the younglings, if you will, teach them in the ways of the Force and take that away. Fear dominated that entire sequence. Mm-hmm. And then you have truth. And what happens? The Sith, just like you said, Mark, you were talking about this earlier, Palpatine was good at manipulating. Why? He manipulated the fear. He took the fear of the truth of the Jedi and turned it back on them. You fear mm-hmm. the truth. You fear what you don't see. You fear all of this. And as a result, I'm going to teach you the truth according to the way the Sith see it, Anakin. And that fear is going to envelop you, and I'm going to pull you in with that fear. It was fear that turned Anakin. It was fear that turned the Jedi. And it was fear combined with the truth that ended up being the downfall of so much.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. And Anakin is very much prominent in the scene in between the twins because, you know, Osha had stunned May. Once May comes out of her stunning, May stuns Sol. So her and Osha can have their moment. And it's a heart-to-heart moment. It's very similar to Anakin and Padme. Only May has the high ground here. Just throwing that out here because she definitely does. And the same words. She says the same words. They turned you against me. Choose me this time. Please choose me. And Osha's like, they were more of a family to me than you ever were. Like, oh my gosh, these are sisters and they're saying these terrible things. So that hug ends up becoming into a fight where I'm not sure how Osha got like wounded. I didn't see that. I just keep seeing a whole push. So she pushes Osha off the cliff. May has the high ground because it was a short cliff, but it's still no less the high ground. And Osha's knocked out. Wounded, and that's when she does the whole cutting of her hair so she can be her sister and go find Sol. I don't know what she's up to with this, what she's playing at. Does she want to catch Sol off guard and finish what she started and kill him? But why at this point? I don't, you know, I get it. Chimera was her own master was calling her weak. You've always been weak. I really feel he wanted Osha more than he wanted May. Just my own feeling on it. And I know he knows he has Osha, Chimera, because of the mech tattoo on her arm. It's there. You know, what do we think of this? What do we make of this? What's going on here? What do you think May's up to, portraying herself as Osha? And how does Sol not sense it?
Yeah, well, she's probably very good at masking who she is. She would
Basil
know...
knows. Who can
Basil tell? Because we already established that Yord is the one who knew what he was saying.
Yep.
But here's
the perfect trap.
Here's the other thing is like you talk about how Sol doesn't sense. I think, you know, what was it? What's her name? Is it Venestra? Like Venestra? That she said something early on that I think is very prevalent here. His personal feelings are too involved here. He doesn't recognize May when she comes in because I think he's by now he's too deep into this that he feels and senses both the sisters and he's too caught up in his own feelings that I don't think he's paying attention to is, you know, be mindful of your surroundings, right? Do we know that phrase very well, right? Be mindful of your surroundings. He can't be mindful of his surroundings if he's too caught up in the personal nature that's going on and probably within himself. The fact that he's, you know, Chimera hit a sore spot within him. And so he's probably thinking a lot about that right now.
Very valid point. Yeah.
So where do we think we're going from here? Are we going to get that flashback finally, or are they saving that till the last episode?
That's an interesting question. I don't know. I'm scared now because this is it. We got three episodes left. I love the imagery at the end there, though, when Chimera kneels before all the trees and, of course, Osha. And I want to see it, but I put it in the notes there and I put the little... I did a screen cap, but I'm sorry. It reminds me so much of the Darth Plagueis original book cover where Palpatine is kneeling before what looks like a tree face of Plagueis. It's very, very similar. And I don't think it was just a coincidence. I don't believe. Yeah.
You're forgetting one other kneeling moment that is similar.
Empire in the Strikes series? Back.
No.
Oh, yes. No.
Vader gets on his knees before the Emperor in the same fashion, if you will, before his master. I mean, like, it's very similar to what took place then. Like, there's, I think you're onto something that there is, like, again, I'm speechless here, but like the idea that they're using similar symbolism throughout, you know, in this series, just like they did in Empire, they just so like they did in the novels and so on and so forth.
Yeah, and what he says though is very deep, and it's still haunting to me. He says, "What extraordinary beings we are, even in the revelation of our triumph." It's interesting that he calls it triumph. You see the depth of our despair. Yeah. And he's talking to Osha. He knows it's Osha because he sees it's her tattoo. So it's like, and then he covers her up with his cloak. He has shown more, I'm struggling using the word, more compassion for Osha than he ever has for May.
Yeah.
At least I think that. Yeah. And I find that interesting.
Yeah, I think that, so we have three episodes left.
Yeah.
The flashback episode has to either be next week or the following week, because just as a narrative structure, the end of this season, we'll see the fallout of everything that happens from the past in the present. And so it wouldn't make sense to have the fallout happen before the revelation. Of course, Christopher Nolan could probably make quick work of that idea. Just show everything in whatever order he pleases. But yeah, I'm excited, dreading also what can happen next. There's not that many characters left that can die. So, yeah, I'm curious also then what our listeners think. How traumatized are you?
Right. And is Fernestra going to be the one to come in and clean up the mess and then erase it from the archives?
By the way, this series can definitely go the distance. And I'm talking, this could be far from a limited series. This could end up being a long-term series. Just because
apparently Leslie Hinlan has four or five solid ideas for the second season.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, just given how successful the series has been and viewership numbers, I don't see it not getting renewed at this point.
Right.
I mean, Ahsoka was a layup for a second season as well. And I think we're getting similar numbers, at least, to the viewing numbers for Ahsoka week to week.
And both of them can go the distance. Like, you can have Ahsoka go on and on and on and on.
Because
this is post-Empire. This is during a stretch where like, there's just so much that series can do. Introduce new characters. It can go a long ways. We could talk four, five, six seasons, whatever it is. I feel like the Acolyte could do the same thing. And this might be one of the first times we get series to go the distance like that since Rebels and the Clone Wars. Like, I like the idea of this going the distance like that. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, there's 100 years to play with here in the Acolyte. I mean, where with the Ahsoka, there's less than 30, less than 30 before The Force Awakens. But still, those are some pretty big gaps that a lot can happen within a timeline. And, you know, I love the fact that we're getting new lore. It's not just right out saying it's Sith. It makes you think. Because, again, as we've learned, there are different factions out there that practice using this force ability. And some use it for good. Some use it selfishly. You know, some it's in between. You don't really know what they're doing, but they're using it. I mean, there's lots going on. And I love that we have to try and figure it out. I mean, it is, this series specifically is categorized as a mystery thriller. So we're supposed to be trying to figure it out. The answers aren't going to be handed to us all the time. You got to try and piece it. And that's the point of it. I don't see this as breaking canon anywhere at all. I think if anything, it enriches what we already knew from the prequels. It makes you look at it differently now, and in a good way, because it adds substance to it. Yeah, it's good.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to next week. And like I said, dreading it. But Becca, where can our listeners find us to let us know what they think?
Well, they can always email us if you want to say hi or if you've got anything to say about all that we're talking about, ttspodfeedback@gmail.com. Find us on all social media. We're at Tarkin's Top Shelf all across the board. Listen, wherever you catch your pods, we should be there. If you want to say hi to me, I'm pretty much everywhere too. Same handle at @YouAreAngelB. And where can they find you, Alan? We'll go with you.
I'm not on social media. I have, well, I'm on Instagram, but you can follow my life there. I tend to post pictures of what's going on in my life, but I'm very rarely there. But I'm not anywhere else. So you can email our podcast, itEatsYourEggPodcast@gmail.com. I will read there. In fact, we just got an email recently that we need to touch on the next time we three get together. But no, that's where I'll read it. Send it there.
All right. And as far as Idiots Array, Alan mentioned idiotsarraypodcast@gmail.com is a good place to contact us. On Twitter, it's @idiotsarraypod. On Instagram, @idiotsarraypodcast. So we got the full handle there. You can follow Ryder at Ryder Waldron DDS, and that's on all those channels. I'm on Blue Sky, Instagram, and Threads at Mark Suter Author. You can also check out my book, Vulcan's Blade, on Amazon. And if you enjoyed our breakdown of episode 5 of The Acolyte, Night, tell that to Reading Club. And may the Force be with you.
This podcast is not endorsed by Disney, Lucasfilm Limited, or 20th Century Fox, and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, the Star Wars logo, all names and pictures of Star Wars characters, sound effects, vehicles, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited, or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is intellectual property of the Idiots Array podcast, unless otherwise indicated.